What stage did yourself and Aoife meet and get married?
We met in Temple Oak Tennis Club, at what we used to call the Hops. It would have been
New Year's Eve,
what, 48,
wasn't it?
7 or 8, I can't remember which. 47 or 8 was New Year's Eve in Temple Oak Tennis Club. He came from one way and I came from the other.
And so at this stage you were still in the, you were teaching and...
No, I was working.
At that stage?
You just finished your apprenticeship.
I had, no, I had finished my apprenticeship and I was in celebrating form, you know. And... it wasn't until a couple of years afterwards I left the Duverna Press to go to the newspapers. Newspapers paid good money, you know, well over the ordinary rate for, you know, for commercial printing.
Was it a good place to get a job then? And you know, obviously having more money and what section of the newspaper were you working in?
The composing room, where they made up the pages. There was a good reason for going to newspapers. First of all, they paid good money, but it was quite hard to get in. And I took a chance and went for summer work, and then was taken on, what they call it, permanently. That was a big deal.
So nobody actually helped you to get in. You got in yourself, am I right?
Into the newspaper, yes. But originally, to get the apprenticeship, my aunt was married to a man who was works manager in Duverna Press. And against all the odds, very difficult, I got an apprenticeship. I was almost unique in Tala in having that kind of a job. A few worked in Erne, few worked elsewhere, maybe labouring jobs. So I had a very, very enviable job, even as an apprentice.
And Aoife, were you working at the time? At this stage? I was, yes.
I went to school in Eccles Street, which was way the other side of the city. But I can't remember, it was a tram or a bus at that stage. It passed by the end of the road and brought me the whole way. And then when I did my leaving cert, I did a year in a place called Skerry's Commercial College, and I had just almost reached the year when I got a job in UCD. I didn't look for the job. People used to come to the college and ask for people, and they wanted somebody who had certain speeds, at short on the typing, and good at English. Why the good at English, I never found out, because English didn't enter into the job. I was in a pathology laboratory reporting results of the tests and examinations and such like. Mm-hmm. But I started there at the princely sum of 25 shillings a week, which was manna from heaven, because a lot of girls in the civil service started with 15 shillings a week. So I was well-to-do.
Right. And did you stay working after you got married?
Oh, no such thing. The marriage bar was there. Once you got married, out you went.
You settled down and...
Well, we were about 3 years going together. And we didn't get a 100% mortgage or anything like that. So we saved for our deposit, £100 each, which was a lot of money in those days, and we settled for this. And then when we were good enough...
This house out here in Kilbarry,
yeah. Yeah, yes. This one.
And was that convenient then to your work?
No.
Oh, to my work, 7 miles. I never was convenient to my work. I was always 7 miles away from it.
Were you a biking man?
I had to. All the way from Tala to be in at 8 o'clock in the morning, up and have a breakfast, cycle downhill into Liffey Street, but had to cycle back 7 miles uphill against the constant wind from Ballinascorney Gap to Tala, hail, rain or snow.
Now, in those years, Ernie factory was doing very well. It was employing a lot of people out in Tala. Did you know people working there? What was your connection?
Some cousins, I have many cousins out there, but a lot of them would be working with other locals in Ernie. So all I would know about Ernie was hearsay. None of my immediate family worked there. So it's hearsay. So we'd hear all some of the gossip and forget. But I knew the people who worked there, including some of the people who had come from Tyrone, who had married cousins of mine eventually, like Willie McCauley, Billy McLewy, and people like that. They settled in. They had the two things I knew were the chocolate bars, the little square box called a Halftime Jimmy. There's a hurdler or a footballer running off the field.
What is that?
That size.
About
3 feet divided into 16 squares, and it costs 3 pence.
Yeah.
And there's a man with a hurdle on the
field. That's right, running. And the bigger one was called Hiker's Joy. And it costs 6 pence. And then it had a slogan called Ernie for the Journey.
Yes.
That's the slogan. And they made lovely chocolates. Tara chocolates.
They were very nice.
They were very good.
Yeah. Was the work in there? Was that a good place to have a job as well? Or
paid money? Of course it was. Sure. Even breaking up stones in the Selby quarry was a good job. Mm. At that time, you know, great. He's working to Selby. That meant going up Tala Hill and up to the Selby quarries and break stones. That was a good job because you got paid money. Jobs that paid money were scarce.
What do you remember about the management and the staff?
Nothing. I knew Arthur Behan because he passed by the house. I heard of Redmond Gallagher, who was the son who was a would-be racing driver, and I don't think he was a playboy, I think. Eventually, he ended up owning a lot of land down in Wexford, the Slobs, the south, or I don't know what it is outside Wexford. I knew that Henry Gallagher was the boss and that Mrs. Gallagher was the one who was behind the invention of new chocolates. And there was the other top family, the McGuinnesses. I knew one of the younger fellows because we used to meet on the road, he'd be coming from school and I'd be coming from school up there, so I met him. But the other fellow who became Harry McGuinness, who started up Creation with our friend, Huey McLaughlin. He started up the 10-year printing company and Sunday World. I didn't know him. I only knew about him. So the Gallaghers and the McGuinnesses were the top dogs there. I wouldn't have been socially aware of them. I don't even remember meeting him. I don't remember ever meeting any of them. I wouldn't have known Henry Gallagher to see. Where would I see him? If he passed up in a car.
That's,
He wouldn't stop and say hello, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I would imagine that the everybody out in Tala was connected to somebody who actually did have a job.
That's right.
There.
It was very, very, very vital to the area. Because otherwise, what were the ordinary girls do, even going to services out of date at that time, which would have been a normal outlet for them.
It would indeed. And so, I'm just thinking of you moving out here to the to this side of the city, away from the other side of the city. Was it a more desirable place to live in Dublin, or was it...
No, it had bungalows. My wife, Isha, said she wanted a bungalow. So the only bungalow I could find was out in a place called Kilbarrick. And nobody knew where the hell was Kilbarrick. But I found it out and we bought this bungalow, which is it was pricey. There were airline pilots and that sort of thing were buying them, living here, coming from the air, because the road leads up to the airport, or the lane as it was then. Leads up to the airport, so we bought it. Mortgage 1700, 35 years at 4%, fixed.
Well, that was quite good, wasn't it?
Not at the beginning. The monthly mortgage was a week's wages.
7.11.
You remember.
£7.11.07 per month. And that was actually 1 week's money.
Wow, yes. So getting that together.
And ground rent and rates.
What, you know, the... I would imagine that the I'm just thinking of your own son, Roddy. Yeah. But they were... How many in the family altogether?
Four.
In our family? Oh, two girls and two boys.
And, you know, kind of rearing a family like that in those days, it was difficult, you know, to...
It was part of your life. You didn't think yourself any. I never felt hard come by anyway. Just got on with it. I made all the clothes and I cooked plenty, and we just didn't go out very much. We go down to the beach, which was quite convenient. And they have great memories, and they used to be able to play tennis on the road there because it was only one car a day. Yeah. So it was an easy, in that respect. You worked hard. There were no washing machines or anything like that. But it was what everyone else did, so you didn't feel.
Was there great fun in the house? You know,
Oh, yes, we had good fun with neighbours. But you see, we had plenty of time. Socialising was easily done. We talked to each other over the garden fences. They weren't as covered in as they are now, and that sort of business. But I never went up to the local pubs. I couldn't afford to. You couldn't afford to go to a pub, which is one of the good reasons, right? Because I couldn't afford to buy a round. If I went up for a drink, what are you having? I didn't want that because I invariably couldn't pay it back. I'd be paying with money, which was needed elsewhere. So I didn't go into a local pub. I don't know the local pubs at all. My two sons know them. They all know them very well, but I don't.
And what, I suppose to be creative and to have the kind of life, I suppose, that an artist or a writer can have, it obviously comes from his background or her background or... So, was there that type of environment here? What was it?
Well, my father was a journalist to start off with. He was a Wexford man, and he went to St. Peter's College, where he was sent to be a priest. But he didn't want to be a priest, so when he left St. Peter's, he got a job in the Enniscorthy Echo, and he worked there for a good few years, and then he got caught up in there. Troubles, as they're called, and then he eventually came up to Dublin. Now the sequence I don't know, and he got a job in the civil service, external affairs it was called then, I think it's foreign affairs now, and he also wrote for Gaelic Games for the Independent. He was called the recorder, and all the time I was a child he used to bring us to Croke Park and all the games, which were gorgeous. We didn't bother that much with it, but little orphans used to be given sixpence from this one and a bag of sweets from that one. So we always had a ball. So that's it. Then we met in Temple Oak, and the rest is history.
But